Achilles discensus aweno, noctes atque dies patet atri iano aditus. Sed revocari gradum superas quae vadar ad os.
Hoc opus hic labo est.
Edith.
Good afternoon, Father. You see, I still remember my Virgil.
I didn't hear you come up there.
Oh, you were far away. Finding the descent to Hades easy, but to find your way back. Quiet, boy!
Trace one's steps out to the upper air. That's the task.
That is the labor. Well, I'm taking Roy here to the upper air of the high meadow. Give him a run.
Seems in need of it.
You never do so now. And you and he were once so close.
Quiet and immediate. And I have more to occupy me than walking a bad-tempered old wolfhound.
He's not bad-tempered. He's been missing you. How is Alice?
Miss Morphy is very well indeed. That's it, hold him, Edith!
Drink my best, Father! What's the matter with you?
Take the beast away!
Yes, Father!
Take him away before I summon better time and take it away for good! Shot! That's the medicine for mad dogs. Or strangled. Or still strangled with my own hands.
Father!
I could do that, you know. I have the strength for it. Don't you doubt I have the strength to rid myself of a feeble old brain, softened, ranting brute?
The Creeping Man by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Robert Forrest. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Robin Ellis as Professor Presbury. The Creeping Man.
Holmes. Holmes, I've been here for half an hour.
Not quite, Watson, not quite.
And you haven't uttered a word.
Oh, there was a time you showed more understanding of, or at least patience with, my protracted reveries.
I do understand.
Well, curious facts have been submitted to me that in turn give rise to speculation of a more general character.
Speculation that you might share with me?
Yes, presently.
Since I am here at your request, your seemingly urgent request, come at once, if convenient. If inconvenient, come all the same.
Neatly worded, don't you think? And I take it by your tone, it was inconvenient.
It was, as a matter of fact.
But here you are.
Yes, here I am, having had to rearrange my entire day. My practice, you know, is not inconsiderable.
And Mrs. Watson's concern for you, it too, is considerable.
Well, of course it is, but...
In addition to a thriving medical practice and an ever-watchful wife, does a lovable family dog play a part in your new domestic arrangements?
A dog?
No. But if I were to study Dr. Watson's dog, what might I learn?
I think Holmes, even you would learn little from a hypothetical dog.
Might I witness it whining at you, tail thumping impatiently, begging to be taken out on adventures? Yes, only when you and the mutt were alone together, of course.
Holmes, what are you talking about?
I am giving serious thought to the writing of a small monograph on the uses of dogs in the work of the detective.
You mean bloodhounds?
Oh, no, no, no. That's been thoroughly explored already. No, but a dog reflects the family life. Whoever saw a frisky dog in a gloomy household or a sad dog in a happy one? Snarling people have snarling dogs. Dangerous people, dangerous ones. And changing canine moods may reflect changes in the family around them.
Holmes, did you summon me from my work for something so trivial?
In some ways, Watson, you never change.
Hmm?
You'll never learn that the gravest issues may depend upon the smallest thing.
Yes,
Professor Presbury.
Presbury?
The Cambridge physiologist.
I know of him, of course.
But not of Roy, his devoted wolfhound, who now, after years of being the traditional, faithful best friend of the man, has twice attacked his master. What do you make of it?
Isn't it obvious? The dog is ill, distempered.
The beast attacks no one else, and molests the professor only on very special occasions.
Curious.
Very curious. Aha! Young Mr. Bennett. Admirably prompt. And now we may learn more about our professor and his perfidious pet.
The matter, Mr. Holmes, it's very delicate.
So we understand, Mr. Bennett.
The